Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women. I'm your host, Mary Jolkowski, an author, speaker, and all-around self-love advocate. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Hello, self-lover. Before we dive into today's podcast episode, I want to make sure you know about my two books on self-love. If you're struggling with body image or self-acceptance, then I highly recommend you check out my first book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a comprehensive workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. Thousands of people have this book, and the 5-star reviews are so amazing. They give me so much life. So I hope that this is something that can help you too. You can get it wherever books are sold by searching for The Gift of Self-Love or go to my website, maryscupoftea.com/book. After releasing The Gift of Self-Love and reading all your positive feedback, I realized that we really needed something to keep us going every single day. So not a deep dive workbook, but maybe like a micro dose of self-love in your daily life, which is why I wrote 100 Days of Self-Love. It's a guided journal with, you guessed it, 100 prompts that cover so many areas of life, including body, identity, purpose, emotions, mindset, relationships, and more. So you can really think of it as a metaphor multivitamin, something to keep you going, or as I like to say, growing on your self-love journey. You can get this journal wherever books are sold as well by searching for 100 Days of Self-Love or go to maryscupoftea.com/journal. It's my mission to share all the self-love tea with you, so I hope that both my books and this podcast can do just that. A few years ago, I was teaching a class on confidence. This was during the pandemic, so it was over Zoom. And at the end, we were having a Q&A session. And this girl raises her hand and she's like, Mary, I don't really struggle with confidence that much because usually I wake up in the morning, I start my day by getting ready, I do my hair, my makeup. And on those days, I feel great. I would say that I have confidence. But there are some days when I wake up, I don't know if it's on the wrong side of the bed, but I just feel like my hair and makeup isn't cooperating. For some reason, that really affects me and I feel really insecure. How do you build confidence on those days when you're feeling insecure about how you look? And I will never forget this question because I think it is so illustrative of the difference between pseudo-confidence and true confidence. And I told her, girl, those days when you feel like shit or you don't like how you look, those days are your opportunity to practice true confidence. Because what you described before that was kind of like pseudo confidence. Like, of course, it's easy to feel good when you're all done up and you're adhering to society's expectations of you. But it's when we release ourselves of those chains and we are free to be on our own and to practice this true, authentic confidence, that's when it matters the most. That's when you're actually making a dent in your self-love journey, not on the days when you feel good or you like how you look. Again, this is illustrative of pseudo-confidence versus true confidence, which is what we're going to talk about today and how it relates to insecurities. Because I believe that the only way to conquer any insecurity is by accentuating it. Accentuating it, meaning bringing it to light, letting it be seen, owning it, embracing it, counterintuitively doing the opposite of what you want to do, which is hide your insecurity, right? Cover it up. It's kind of like wearing makeup when you have redness on your face or you feel like you're breaking out. At first, you might feel compelled to put makeup on your acne, cover it up. Then you feel good in the moment because you have this concealer on, your face isn't as red, your pimples might not be as noticeable. But a couple hours later, when that product is wearing off and that makeup you caked on your face is starting to look a little weird, then suddenly you're like still thinking about that insecurity. It's still there. And then the next day you wake up without makeup and it looks worse than it did before. For a few different reasons, like one, you didn't let your skin breathe, so it made it worse in the long term. But also you widened that comparison gap where you went from comparing yourself to like normal natural skin that sometimes flares up and breaks out to a face full of makeup. And relatively speaking, when you go back to the bare natural face, you feel more insecure because you have a bigger comparison gap. And I think it's the same thing with confidence. If you have pseudo confidence and you follow common advice like fake it till you make it, ignore your flaws, pretend like they don't exist, that kind of rhetoric where we're all just kind of performing and acting like we are confident when we're not, I think it creates this feedback loop that just keeps you stuck in that insecurity because you're not living honestly. You're not being authentic. I'm a big believer in radical honesty. And I think the only way we can set ourselves free is if we are truthful with ourselves and of course others too, but especially with ourselves. So pseudo-confidence might work in the short term, but in the long term, it kind of makes you feel like a phony. Plus, it makes the insecurity come back with a bit of a vengeance. Think about that inflared pimple that is so mad that you didn't let it breathe. So to build true confidence, we must not only acknowledge the insecurity, but also accentuate it, bring it to life, own it, embrace it, make it a beautiful part of you. At first, you might not feel like it's a beautiful part of you, but the more you embrace it and it becomes just like your child, right? That doesn't always behave, that isn't always adhering to social norms, that sometimes makes you feel like a shitty parent, but it's still yours nevertheless, and you wouldn't trade them for the world. That's kind of the relationship that you want to develop with your insecurities. At the end of the day, like we can do everything we want to try to change and cover up and conceal, but if that's a real authentic part of ourselves, then we're only doing more damage in the long run. We're taking away a true part of ourselves. And I firmly believe that your greatest gifts, your biggest strengths actually lie in the things that you are most insecure about. Let me share with you one of mine. I am very insecure about how much I talk. I'm like in a room by myself right now, recording this podcast. I'm literally talking to a wall and hoping this reaches someone in the end. But like in this moment right now, as I'm recording it, I am literally just talking to myself. That's a little weird, right? And when I talk to other people, like sometimes I just word vomit and then say things that I regret a little bit and overshare. And that's always been a part of me that I'm like, oh, Mary, why can't you just be private and cool and mysterious? And I had a friend of mine tell me once, she was like, Mary, you might not be cool, but you're warm. And warm is just as cool as cool, right? There's a beauty to being warm. And that was one of those times where you know how somebody just says something in a certain way that it lands? That difference between cool and warm, that really resonated with me because I'm like, you know what? I think I'd rather be warm. Like I'd rather regret some things I say than feel like I held back this critical part of myself. So I'm curious, what are you insecure about and how could this apply to you? Is there a way that you can lean into that insecurity? I have a friend, her name is Blair Amani. She's a social activist. You can find her on Instagram at Blair Amani. But I remember a few years back, she did this campaign where she took pictures of her acne. I think there's like a lot of influencers and like skin positive influencers that did that. And I remember thinking like, firstly, it was just so beautiful. And at first you're like, oh, that's so brave. And then over time you're like, why is that brave? It's just like somebody's normal skin. Like we shouldn't be seeing it as brave. But regardless, it's the same thing with like body positivity, right? Like at first we kind of highlight this part of ourselves and just bring it out into light and admit and acknowledge and accentuate like, yes, I am or used to be, maybe still am, insecure about my weight, but this is me. This is how I come, how I exist. And the more we started doing that, right? Body positivity just took off. And suddenly, I don't know about you, but just being in those circles, it just made me see simple things like tummy rolls, acne, scars, stretch marks as all the more beautiful because I did this like kind of exposure therapy on myself. And I think the same concept can be applied to non-physical things that you might be insecure about. So what is that for you? Maybe it's like an aspect of your personality. Maybe instead of Mary, who can't shut the fuck up, you might be a little insecure about how little you talk or how quiet you tend to be in a social circle. Could that be a beautiful, amazing part of you, that you are quiet and maybe patient and a great listener and grounding energy and highly observant? Like, what other positive traits go with this thing you see as negative about yourself? There's probably so much. And I guarantee you, if you think back to some of the best compliments you've ever received, the ones that really resonated with you, they're probably the ones that kind of made your insecurity your strength. A couple weeks ago, a friend of a friend, we all went hiking, and this is a girl that I love dearly, but I just don't know her that well. I remember she said something like, "Mary, you are just so good with your words." And I've been told that a couple times, and I love hearing that because it highlights what I'm most insecure about, which is I feel like I'm not good with my words. You know, I grew up kind of an ESL kid, like an English second language, and I couldn't quite pronounce just like basic English words because I didn't hear them in my household. And so my whole life, I was kind of compensating for that. And I was reading a lot and I was trying to build my vocabulary and talk to people. And then the more I did that, I like overcorrected to a point where now I can't shut the fuck up. And so sometimes I feel like my words aren't landing. But clearly, based on the amount of times that I've heard the opposite, it is something that's just in my head. And I promise you that the things you're insecure about might also be a little bit in your head. We exaggerate things on our heads. Our brains lie to us and they don't see ourselves the way that other people see us from like a third person perspective. That's the only time that I will say objectify yourself. If you were to like zoom out and look at yourself from an objective perspective, what strengths, gifts, skills, like natural talents lie in what you're most insecure about? And how can you like accentuate that a little bit more to prove to yourself that this shit is actually badass and a critical, awesome part of you?
I am quite the skeptic when it comes to health claims that I see on the internet. There's just so much out there promising to help you, heal you, or make you better in some way, but most of it is unstudied pseudoscience. But skeptics still need vitamins, which is why Ritual's clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus is my go-to multivitamin. With shorter days and me working from home, vitamin D is a must, and most women aren't getting enough of it. That's why I take two Ritual multivitamins every morning before breakfast to cover my bases. They're gentle on an empty stomach while containing vitamin D3, vitamin E, folate, vitamin B12, iron, magnesium, boron, omega-3, and vitamin K2. The Essential for Women 18 Plus is also USP verified, which stands for United States Pharmacopeia. It confirms that the product's ingredients are actually the ingredients that are listed on the bottle, so you can trust what you're putting in your body. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Mary's Tea. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Mary's Tea for 25% off.
If you choose pseudo-confidence, the feedback loop that you're creating for yourself is notice flaw, hate flaw, try to cover up that flaw and pretend like it's not there, and then ultimately just hate that flaw even more because, like we talked about with the comparison gap and relatively speaking, it feels like that flaw is so big and scary and prominent, even though it's not, but it feels that way the more you try to hide it. It like comes back with a vengeance because you're being dishonest with yourself on some subconscious way. Whereas the feedback loop for true confidence is notice an insecurity, admit that you're insecure about it. Just put it out there. Just admit it. Just say, "I'm embarrassed." Sometimes that is so liberating, like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed, right? It kind of creates this lightheartedness to it where it's no longer so big and scary. And then the third step, the third part of the feedback loop, is to accentuate it until you no longer feel insecure about it. I'm sure you've heard that in Japanese culture, there's this art form called wabi-sabi, and it's basically about embracing the impermanent nature of things and how when something lives long enough, it is going to have some kind of a scar, some kind of a dent, some kind of an imperfection. I think this concept is more often translated to home decor, where in Japanese culture, instead of noticing like a dent in the wood and trying to buff it out and restain the wood and cover it up, or worse, just like throw out the furniture and get a new piece of furniture, I think in wabi-sabi, they would actually like fill that dent with some sort of metallic or some way to kind of, again, accentuate it to create a beauty in that imperfection. And this caught on really big in the home decor world. And I think it's because it resonates with like a really deep part of our soul, where when somebody tries to like cover up and hide our insecurities, even if that somebody is ourselves, then it just is like, it's fake and phony. It's not as lived in. It's not as beautiful as when we try to just embrace it, even accentuate it, live with it, and find the wholeness in that imperfection. So by accentuating your insecurities, you're proving to yourself that there's beauty in your quirks, in your idiosyncrasies, in these things that you see as imperfections. And once you air them out and give them space to breathe, your insecurities won't hold as much power over you. They're just there like any other part of you. You just gotta welcome all these parts of you to the table. No matter how insecure you might feel about them, they're all a part of you, and they all create this wabi-sabi-like nature of your entire existence. The last thing I want to leave you with is something that was not part of my outline at all, but I just thought of it as I said, welcome all the parts of you to the table. It's a TED Talk that I'm going to link for you in the description. Please go watch it. It's called How to Talk to the Worst Parts of Yourself. And this is a TED Talk about self-compassion. I've watched it so many times. It lands with me in such a big, deep way. To me, the message is how to embrace your insecurities, not the physical ones, but even those deep, dark parts of you that you never want to admit to anyone or even yourself. How do you live with and embrace and own all of that? So please go to the description and do that. And in the meantime, I hope that you realize that the only way to truly, truly conquer your insecurities is by accentuating them. Yes, it's counterintuitive. Yes, it's uncomfortable and vulnerable. But guess what? When you live in that way, you're being honest with yourself. You're being authentic. You're being cute and quirky and fun. Maybe instead of cool girl, you're finally embracing the warm elements of you, the ones that are just real and true and wholly you. I love you so much, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.
One last thing before we farewell, my self-lovers. If you've been enjoying the Mary's Cup of Tea podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review on Apple or rate the show on Spotify. You can do this by searching for the show Mary's Cup of Tea. Scroll all the way down on Apple Podcasts and you'll see stars where you can click one of the stars and leave a few kind words. It just means so much to me because I'm so behind the scenes when I'm podcasting, so I don't really get to see the impact of the show unless you leave a review. And on Spotify, there's just a button that says rate the show and it'll let you put however many stars you want. Your feedback helps the podcast grow, and as someone whose love language is words of affirmation, your kind words mean the world to me. Thank you so much for supporting the show and helping me spread the gift of self-love. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you in next week's episode.